everybody. Welcome to episode 708 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is an Aftershock Monday episode, and today I'm going to be talking about one of the titles that comes out from Aftershock this Wednesday, February 6th. It's Oberon number one from Ryan Parrott, and it's just a really, really fun fantasy story. You know, last week I talked about, or actually may have been a few weeks ago, I talked about Volition, Ryan's first title from Aftershock, which I'm really enjoying, which is a very futuristic look at society and artificial intelligence and what it means to be human. And there's a lot there to unpack, and it's really, really interesting. So this story is the story of Oberon, King of the Fairies, and it's much more in line with a traditional adventure story in a way. You know, I talked about it on the first Aftershock Monday of the year when I was going over the upcoming titles for the year. And so we know that it's the story of Lord Oberon, who was betrayed by the fairy folk, by his wife, his queen, Titania. And he's looking for a way to regain his throne. And so we see in the first issue that he's seeking out this innocent prophesied child in order to manipulate her into becoming a weapon so he can reclaim his throne. So again, another story of someone who believes that the end justifies the means, and you're wrapping that up in a story that's fantastical, has to do with some traditional fantasy characters, unicorns and fairies and enchanted forests and talking animals and the like. So I really enjoyed the first issue. It was engaging right away. We meet Bonnie, this child who is prophesied to do great things, and she's a very likable, engaging character. We meet Lord Oberon himself, and much like I speculated on when we first touched on the title in that Aftershock 2019 Looking Forward episode, he's not... You know, I wouldn't call him a hero. He may be the protagonist of the story. You may even say that Bonnie is the protagonist, at least of the first issue. But again, Oberon lost his throne unjustly. And so he does deserve, you know, at least from a perspective of seeing the right thing done, he does deserve to be restored to his throne. He is the rightful ruler of this fairy kingdom. And so in that way, he is sort of the protagonist. Like, you do want him to regain his throne, but he right away, from the first time we see him on the page of the book, you get this sense that he isn't telling Bonnie everything. He doesn't have a truthful nature about him, you know, one might say, and you can kind of chalk that up to his otherworldliness. But yeah, he's not the kind of guy that I would trust in a dark alley, if you know what I mean. So right away, there's this sort of this interesting dynamic that's going on between Lord Oberon and between Bonnie, who comes across as, you know, a very intelligent and self-aware, if not somewhat naive, little girl. You know, I think she's probably maybe 12, 10 or 12. So, again, a very likable character. The story is set in San Francisco, which has its own charm, I feel, and kind of suits the story of being sort of fantastical and having gateways to, the land of the fairies and such. So, this may be one of those situations, though, with a story, and I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, where when I read stories where there are complications because characters aren't completely forthright with each other, like they don't tell each other exactly what's going on or what their intentions are or that kind of thing, and it leads to complications, it always sort of annoys me. And it causes all these problems, and it drives the plot, and it causes conflict, and, you know, conflict and drama are sort of, you know, the necessary fuel for story. But it just bugs me because I feel like if everybody just told each other the whole story, then you could skip over a lot of the issues and the problems, you know, and the running around and whatever, you know, whatever it might be, if that were the case. But then again, I guess, you know, you're trying to tell a story, and as a writer, as a storyteller, you have your reasons. And you know, Oberon clearly is not someone who's looking to kind of open up and be forthright and let people know what his plans are and what his innermost thoughts are. He clearly is, he believes himself to be above that. He certainly can tell from kind of his tone and the way he speaks about humankind in the first issue that he has some contempt for humans overall. And so in that way, you wouldn't necessarily expect him to be forthright and open about his intentions. But still, I can see where his plans within plans or his lack of honesty with some of the other characters is eventually going to lead to problems down the road that may have been avoided if he just was honest. But again, King of the Fairies, fairies lie, so I suppose we'll have to take that as sort of part of the story. Now, the art in the book is by Miloš Slavković, and it's really, really beautiful. It's, you know, I got a digital preview copy, so it's not quite as crisp as it will come across on the page, because I don't think even the copy I got was a final, if you know what I mean. Like, it's not a high resolution scan, and it didn't include the cover or the credits page, so I can't give credit for any lettering, and I don't know if Miloš did you know, pencils, inks, and the coloring. So I'll have to let you know when I pick up my own copy on Wednesday about who the other members of the creative team might be. But I will say that the art style he's choosing, which is a little bit of a cartoony style, does suit the story that him and Ryan Parrott are telling very, very well, especially when it comes to things like the toad that's a guard that guards this magical lamp in the fairyland. And the unicorns and the other fantastical creatures we see in the fairyland, going to kind of traditionally comic book or to sort of photorealistic would make those things seem very sort of plastic in their own way. And so giving it this sort of more cartoony feel suits the story very well. I've never seen any of Miloš's work before, and I think that's a shame because this art is very well done. He is perfectly suited to draw a story like this. There are times where the backgrounds tend to be a little light, but I am totally okay with that because in probably 8 out of 10 panels, the backgrounds are extremely detailed, and he does a great job of fleshing out the world in a way that feels very realistic. And also the color work, whether that's Miloš or someone else, the color work is done extremely well also. It's not a muted palette, but it's kind of heavy in the brown, sort of, I don't know, range of colors, I guess you'd say. So again, that helps to set the tone and the mood of the story that's being told in a very interesting way. And a very suitable way for these characters and the tone of the story. The character design is also great. I love the look of Oberon. I love the look of Bonnie. And I really can't wait for more. As far as the amount of story in the first issue, it's maybe the one thing that disappointed me a little. Or maybe you can just chalk it up to how incredibly well done the first issue is. It didn't necessarily feel short, but as soon as it was over, I wanted more right away. So it didn't feel like a big chunk of story, and it didn't feel like we got a lot of exposition or a lot of dialogue. It felt like a good sized, you know, typical modern day comic, but it was compelling enough that as soon as I finished it, it did end on a little bit of a cliffhanger. I was like, all right, I need the next issue. I need to find out what happens next with these characters. And based on the sort of pacing, I think this may be a little bit of a longer form story, because I only have Volition to compare it to in terms of what else I've read from Ryan Parrott. And Volition seems to move at quite a bit of a quicker pace than this does. So it wouldn't surprise me if this Oberon story is planned out for maybe 8 or 10 issues, as opposed to Volition, which I think is only like 6. So again, I was really impressed with the story, the execution. I definitely would recommend this. It's probably great for younger readers. 10 or 12 year old readers would probably get a kick out of it, I would think. It would make a great bedtime story, something to read with your kids at night, if that's your preference. I know that it's always a struggle for a lot of parents to get their kids to read, so introducing them to something like this could perhaps be a gateway into them wanting to read more often. I do feel like the story is compelling enough to kind of warrant that. So again, Oberon number 1 comes out this Wednesday, February 6th. I do highly recommend it. It's great art, great start to an interesting story from Ryan Parrott and Miloš Slavkovic. The other thing on stands from Aftershock this week is the trade paperback Betrothed Volume 1. So that collects, I believe it was 5 issues, the Betrothed series from Sean Lewis, which was sort of an intergalactic Romeo and Juliet sort of story in a way. There were 2 different societies, one based on technology, the other based on magic, and they sort of needed each other to survive. Like, one planet produced something that the other planet needed, and they had been at war for centuries, and then the planet that was based on magic had an heir that was prophesied to basically bring an end to the war by joining their 2 peoples, and the technologically based world basically grew a girl in a lab, and she was destined to and promised to marry the heir of the magical world and sort of seal the peace between the 2 worlds. And they're both in high school on Earth, sort of hiding out and being raised by some guardians from their respective worlds, and being allowed to come of age until it's time to meet and basically join in union to join these 2 worlds. And the best laid plans of mice and men, right? Things go sideways. People on both sides don't necessarily want to see this union happen. They don't want peace. And so hijinks ensue, and eventually we see these 2 teenagers kind of grow and evolve and sort of become the leaders they're forced to be for their respective peoples. And the story has an ending, but it certainly could be more of the story to come. It's left open-ended enough that we could return to the world if the sales dictated. So I don't know that any decision's been made. I didn't hear a lot of people talking about it. I don't know sort of what the sales numbers will look like at all. But if it does well in trade, then there's a possibility that it could come back. And I do believe it's worth reading. It was a lot of fun. The art was really great. And a great way to pick up the whole story, get it all in kind of one package with this trade paperback, $14.99 at your local comic shop. So I do recommend it, just like I recommend just about everything Aftershock does. As I said, it was a great story from Sean Lewis. So look for that on the stands of your local comic book shop this week from Aftershock as well. So I think that's going to do it for this episode. I know it was a little bit of a smaller episode this time, but I didn't want to go too into more detail on Oberon because I want you to be able to pick it up for yourself. And it is a little bit of a lighter week for Aftershock this week. So thanks for joining, everybody. Please tell your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. All past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, please check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.